We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Studs, let's go. Glad that you're hanging out. We're only on until 8:40 tonight, but we're trying to make these minutes count. My name is Lawrence Holmes. The crew, Herb Lawrence, Adam Studzinski. Glad that you are hanging out with us tonight. We've been talking a lot of baseball to start things off, talking about the White Sox and what it's like to try and consume White Sox baseball right now. And if Cubs fans have some advice for White Sox fans on what the lean years are supposed to be like. We'll let you hear from Rick Hahn in just a minute. Plainfield and Matt. Hey, Matt, you're on the score.
Good evening, Lawrence. Thank you for an awesome topic. This really kind of puts things in perspective. I hate to be the Debbie Downer here, but I am a White Sox fan, and I am a bit worried about the rebuild. And there are a couple stark differences between what the Cubs and Astros have done and what I'm seeing from the White Sox. And the big thing I'm seeing is the top prospects we're bringing up, they're regressing. They're not getting better. They're getting worse. And I think a lot of it has to do with our coaching. So, you know, we talk about how what a great guru Don Cooper is. Don Cooper really hasn't done much with our young pitchers. Yoan Moncada has gone backwards. He is hitting worse now, and the defender is worse now than when he came into the league last year. And the difference I see is that when the Cubs would bring their prospects up, those that they drafted as opposed to those that they traded for, these players had the fundamentals and progressively got better. Tell me I'm wrong.
Well, no, you're not wrong, but organizationally, and I think that this is one of the things that we're going to have to figure out with the White Sox, and I don't know if it can happen with traded players immediately, is if you go back to what Theo has said about the way that the Cubs, how he wanted the Cubs organization constructed, was they went all the way down to every level, and they hand out these binders, the Cubs way, that there are things that need to be done at every single level. So I think that's an easier thing to do when a prospect is your own versus when you're talking about prospects that you traded for. And I think the White Sox are still trying to build a culture, an organizational culture that can be successful. I'm less worried about the pitchers who are at the major league level and are struggling. But that's also because I don't know if you can build that way. I think that it's a bigger roll of the dice on young pitching than it is on young position players. But I'm not at a point where I'm frustrated by any of this stuff because it doesn't matter. You know, there are moments when you see Lucas Giolito and you go, okay, he's starting to figure it out, and then he'll go backwards. Same thing with Reynaldo Lopez, where earlier in the season we were saying, is he the best pitcher in town? And then there's a backwards move. Development isn't linear. And with pitching especially. Paxton and Greg. Hey, Greg, you're on the score.
Hey, Lawrence. Nice hearing you, man.
Same here.
My most painful experience as a Cubs fan is I'm downstate, so I'm in Champaign-Urbana, and this is the heart of Cubs cards country. So listening to all the Cards fans crowing for all those years was painful. But the upside was – is I was able to go to so many games then. I drive up to the city, load up my family, knowing I can buy tickets on the street for $10. You know, if I wanted box seats, I'd pay $20. And, you know, if we want to go now, it's a financial commitment, like a mini vacation for us, you know, just paying $100 a ticket and trying to get parking and on and on. And so my advice to Sox fans is go to all the games you can, because, you know, the day at the ballpark was great. You just went in with the mindset, hey, don't expect too much and you won't be disappointed on the outcome. It's kind of the same advice I gave my wife before she married me. But it all worked out well, you know, in the aspect you could just really enjoy the day at the ballpark, have a great time, win or lose.
Greg, I appreciate the phone call. Did he just make fun of himself?
He definitely did.
Okay.
Well played.
I agree wholeheartedly. I like his moxie. I like the fact that he knows that we all do, right? We all know that we have come up, and the women that we are either dating or the men that we are dating have had mercy on our souls because we're awful.
It's good to know that he knows his place. You know, like, he knows where he is. He's very self-aware.
Absolutely. 100% agree. Champagne and JT, you're on the score.
Hey, Lawrence. Thanks for taking my call. I like this non-antagonistic approach to the relationship between Cubs and White Sox fans. How ecumenical of you. That's very nice.
Well, there's no real reason to be feisty with each other at this point, is there, JT?
No, I don't think so, but, you know, you don't say that in certain company.
No, I'll say it wherever I want. They can take it up with me.
So the three things as a Cubs fan that I focused on through the dregs of 2010 to 2014 was what I would call building blocks, trading blocks, and seam. Building blocks is obvious. Great players, or even serviceable players that you're going to plug in that can be a long-term help to your team. Trading blocks being, I always go back to the Scott Feldman trade, and I know that was abnormally awesome. But that was a guy that pitched serviceably well for the Cubs that they were able to flip into something very, very positive. And I think that the White Sox roster is littered with those folks. You got James Shields, you got Abreu, et cetera. And then theme, you know, I think that the Cubs didn't just go after people by name recognition willy-nilly. They were really trying to focus on creating balance and creating certain things that they valued highly within the framework of what their team was going to be in 2 years, 3 years, 5 years. What are your thoughts on that? I want to hear your opinions.
Yeah, I think that you're right. I think that we have to look at this from a non-linear perspective. And I think we have to, the ride itself, we have to enjoy a little bit. And I'm curious about how long before people get impatient. And I'm glad that for the most part that has not been the case. So while we're talking about this, why don't we let Theo and Jed have their say about the White Sox rebuild. I feel like we should probably allow the general manager of the White Sox to have his say about the rebuild. Rick Hahn spoke with the media earlier today because there were some guys that needed an injury update. But he also talked about some of the issues that have been brought up in this conversation, like Moncada and where things are with some of their young players. Take a listen. This was Rick Hahn earlier this afternoon.
I need to start with injury updates. Got to stop meeting like this. Avi Garcia obviously went on the DL today with a grade 1 strain of his hamstring. It is the same hamstring. However, it is in a different location, and it is considered more mild than the last time around. So our doctors and training staff are optimistic that we could have him back as soon as the start of the second half. Obviously, we'll see how it unfolds here over the next few days, but it appears to be more mild than the last time. Secondly, and something that we haven't announced yet, is Mike Rodolfo during his throwing program unfortunately had a setback. He was examined by doctors in Chicago on Monday, yesterday, and it's unambiguous at this point that he does need Tommy John surgery, which he will undergo here in the coming weeks. As a position player, the return to play protocol is obviously quite different than for a pitcher. We're hopeful to have him back in the vicinity of 8 to 10 months, which would have him hopefully with an affiliate, let's say, around May 1st of next year. So obviously not great news for Miker, but at the same time, we, for those of you who have been following this story, going back to spring training, you know that initially we were concerned that he was going to wind up missing the entire year. And at least this way, Miker was able to get over 300 plate appearances at Winston-Salem, had a very solid year from a development standpoint, and will be back in time, assuming everything goes smoothly, with a chance for essentially close to a full season in 2019. So should not set him behind too far developmentally, but obviously not great news for the kid personally. And Coop had hand surgery.
You okay?
Yeah, he's okay. Coop's doing well. He hopefully will be back in the next day or so.
How frustrating, besides the coupon, what you do with him?
I'm very frustrated about the coupon.
How frustrating is the injuries? I mean, in the process of rebuilding, you know, yeah. As you said, there's going to be some guys that are going to go up, some guys are not going to do as well. Injuries are part of it, but you seem to have a glut.
It's been a tough year. It's been a tough year from a health standpoint. At the same time, we know a couple things. If you have a great number of prospects or a great number of young players that people are interested in, the odds of some of them or multiple of them getting hurt are higher. It's just the nature of the business. At the same time, I think it reinforces some of the tenets or mantras that you've heard us repeat from the start of this entire rebuild, going back the last 18 months, is we need to build depth. We need to build enough redundancy within our own system so that when things like this happen, that we have alternatives. Again, you never want to see any player get hurt, but we want to put ourselves in a position where we have enough premium talent on hand that we can fill in whatever voids are created by these setbacks.
Are you in a position with 3 weeks left before the non-waiver trade deadline to make some moves that you think are going to help benefit you guys going forward?
We certainly hope so. We're going to continue to be aggressive out there and have the same conversations or the same tenor of conversations we've had for the last 18 months, doing everything we can to put ourselves in a strong, long-term position. I think, obviously, this time around, this trade deadline is going to be considerably different from last one, just based upon the amount of moves that we had already made versus what we currently have at the major league level. So it's probably going to be a little quieter than we had 12 months ago for good reason, but at the same time, our views or our intentions remain the same.
Do you know your young personnel well enough to make a educated guess as to whether you could trade your young people for other young people?
We had talked about from the start that there will come a time where we're doing prospect for prospect like trades, where we're going to be dealing from a position of strength to fill positions of need in the system. We've had some conversations with other clubs along those lines. Do I think that's likely in the next 3 weeks? Probably not, simply because this tends to be the time it's more veteran for prospect mindset for most clubs. But in the coming, I don't know, 3 to 12 months, you might start seeing a little more of those as we, again, want to make sure we're diversified enough across our prospect base to have enough premium talent all around the diamond.
How about protecting Jimenez? How far do you guys have to go to protect him from re-injury?
He's progressing nicely, and we hope to have him back here in the coming, I think it's about another week or 10 days or so at this point. But one thing that, given the situation we're in right now, is we're always going to err on the side of caution with these guys. There's no need to rush anyone back, whether it's at the big league level and try to push Avi through for these last five games before the break, or to make sure Eloy's out there every day at Charlotte. It's more about making sure guys are 100% healthy and in a position to succeed. So there's no reason to push Eloy if there's any issue whatsoever with him. We're going to make sure everything's 100% resolved and go from there.
Change your look at what the last month of baseball might be for him?
Not yet. We don't have to make that decision until we get to the last month of baseball. So as we, I think people understand that we're going to respond to his readiness and make a decision accordingly. Right now he's on the DL, so that issue's not really on the table. Given the progress he's made when he's been active, that issue could very well be back on the table at some point here in the not-too-distant future. But for now, it's a moot point.
Did Abby impress you with what he did? I mean, obviously he had a slow start,
yeah.
Got hurt.
No, he looked great. He was swinging the bat. Yeah. He looked fantastic for the stretch of time we had him active. And hopefully the layoff this time is brief enough that he's able to pick up where he left off. But he was obviously swinging a very hot bat and running well and looked good out there. So it's a matter of getting him back to that level.
He was joking that one of the old guys, and he's 27. I think people forget a little bit because he played in the World Series before he even had 50 at-bats, I think, in the regular season, that he's only 27 years old. So certainly could be part of this core.
Absolutely. From an age standpoint, absolutely. We've talked about from a control standpoint, he's under control right now through 2019, which currently doesn't overlap with what we project to be the bulk of our potential championship window. So we're going to have to make a decision on him and others in due course. Again, now's not the time to make that decision while he's sitting here on the DL, but in the coming weeks and months, those would be the type of decisions we might have to make.
Are you fielding calls right now about some of your veteran pitchers?
I'm sorry?
Some of your veteran pitchers that you have, some of the needs
the
other teams have.
What's going on out there? Veteran pitchers, yes, teams are definitely interested in numerous guys on our roster that can potentially help them win. And I don't think there's any club anywhere throughout the league, regardless of the position they're in, that doesn't feel like they could improve themselves from a pitching standpoint. So that's certainly an area of conversation.
Abreu admitted that he's probably taken on more responsibility than he normally should have, but he won't back away from it because of the fact of the responsibility to the young players, mm-hmm. the organization, everything else. Would you like to see him be a little bit more selfish and put more time into his own game?
I don't follow that one entirely. Selfish is certainly nothing that a word that no one's ever associated with him.
Concentrate more on his game rather than everybody else.
He is so remarkably diligent about his preparation, both physically and mentally, and being prepared for what that night holds ahead for him, that it's never been a concern in terms of his preparation whatsoever. He's a role model in that clubhouse, the amount of work and dedication he has. I think from taking on a too much standpoint, it might be when the team is struggling and he feels like he, in one at bat, can somehow turn around a game single-handedly, and that might be too much for him to take on. But in terms of the mentoring or the role modeling, he enjoys that stuff. He embraces that, and that's part of the positive element of his character and something that I don't think is going to change no matter what anyone says to him. That's just how he's wired.
What feels it costs him, though? He feels it probably costs him a little bit as far as his game.
Okay.
I mean, that's fine with you. It's okay.
I haven't had that conversation with him, so I'm not going to have it through you.
It's okay.
I think he's
like me to get involved.
No, trust me. I'm good. What do you got?
Why do you think he's struggling?
I think he's just pressing perhaps a little bit. He's had a tough stretch. These things happen. We've seen all-star caliber players such as him go through, you know, 20 or 30 game stretches where they haven't performed up to an all-star level. It just happens over the course of a long season. I do feel, in part because of the roster, where the roster has been at certain times, in part due to the injuries, he hasn't had a ton of protection behind him. So he's been having to carry the load of wanting to carry the offensive load himself. And pitchers have been able to pitch him a certain way because they haven't been perhaps too concerned about getting the guy behind him if they wind up walking him. So it's not certainly nothing to be concerned about from our standpoint, from a long-term performance standpoint.
You see a guy as mature as he is, the leader that he should really play that the next couple of weeks, the speculation builds. Talk to him, hopefully keep a dialogue open with him.
That kind of stuff we have talked about. That whether it's with him or his representatives or really anyone in that clubhouse that has questions, we have the type of relationship where it's fairly open and we address things as candidly as they want to hear it. Jose's been the subject of these rumors probably for 2 years now, or at least a year and a half, and obviously it hasn't really affected him from a day-to-day standpoint, and I suspect that will continue to be the case over the next 2 or 3 weeks. I think it's more the winning and losing that gets to him than, you know, speculation or reading his name in the paper that he might be moved. He certainly has. There's no misunderstanding in terms of how we feel about him, and he knows that.
That was Rick Hahn earlier this afternoon talking about a lot of things in there about, even at the beginning. You know what? I'll play the beginning again because it's significant to what we're talking about.
I need to start with injury updates. Got to stop meeting like this.
That's significant because that's one of the things that you should expect from a rebuilding team. The guys are going to get hurt. And the string of luck that the White Sox had in acquisition of player and then health of that player was pretty good last year. And this year it is flipped entirely. Northside and Kevin. Hey, Kevin, you're on the score.
Hey, what's up, guy?
What's going on, guy?
You know, I wanted just to talk. I'm a Cubs fan. I'm a diehard Cubs fan. I loved our Cubbies even when they was horrible. But to White Sox fans, look, the rebuilding, watching it as a Cubs fan, was very, very, very painful, very frustrating, very aggravating, because still deep down inside, you don't want to get beat 12-1, let alone 4-3. You want to win as a fan or even as a player. You want to win, and you know they're trying the hardest. But when the Cubs started to win, when 15 popped up out of nowhere, and then 16, you know, they go and they add, you know, Lesnar, and they just take off, it was worth it. Every losing, every game that was, you know, I don't want to watch this, and watching Castro not even know how many outs there were in the field or what was going on, and I love Castro. And as soon as the Cubs got good, they traded him. Things like that was painful. But it was also fun to watch them go on YouTube and watch them, Javi Baez hit 430-foot home runs. You know, just Addison Russell tearing it up and knowing that it's coming. But one thing they didn't do was pitching, because they said something. And this is for White Sox fans. This is what you guys should do next year, as the Cubs did. They went and they acquired starting pitching. They said we could acquire starting pitching with money, true free agency. But we've seen what the Mets did. And key point, injuries. Jimenez is an awesome player, and if he can be healthy, you guys are going to have a 30-home-run hitter and 90-plus RBIs every other year without a problem. He's awesome. I studied him, followed him. He's great. But you guys got to get a pitcher. You guys have to come up with a pitch next year to draw Cooper away from a small town market like Cleveland and get him to Chicago.
Oof. I don't know if that's going to happen. Don't call me buddy, guy. Don't call me friend, pal.
I'm not your guy, friend.
I'm not your guy, buddy.
Not your buddy, guy.
Yeah, definitely. I was looking in the vault for that from South Park. I just couldn't find it. I know we have it somewhere.
I want to do some digging. It's got to be in there somewhere.
It's so Canadian. So perfect. This hour, by the way, is being brought to you by Menards. Save big money at Menards. And this segment is being brought to you by Credit Karma. Get your truly free credit score and free credit monitoring from Credit Karma. Download the Credit Karma app today. Credit Karma, get knowing.
And he was talking about Kluber. He has another year on his contract and then two team options after that. So
he's not going to
come here. And he'll be 35 when he, you know, is free.
It's not happening. Don't call me friend, pal.
I think I got it.
You think so?
I think.
Run it.
Look, guy, we have to stay strong. If you don't stand with your fellow Canadians, then you are a rat.
Don't call me a rat, buddy.
I'm not your buddy, friend. He's not your friend, guy. I'm not your guy, buddy.
He's not your buddy, friend.
I'm not your friend, guy.
Classic.
Oh, that's great. Oh, man. Texas says, what was the donut place in Minneapolis you like going up this weekend? Glam Doll Donuts is the donut place I went to. Someone texted in some Ant-Man about Ant-Man. And I apparently, unbeknownst to me at home, went on a rant about Ant-Man to my wife. She was like, people are not going to believe me when I tell them that you did this and you need to let me record you. And I was like, no, I'm not going to do that, but I am going to talk about it on the air. I got some thoughts and it'll be brief, but I think there are a lot of Marvel fans with me on this. And it's no disrespect to Paul Rudd and Evangeline Lilly, but I got some thoughts. I'll share them with you next here on The Score. Hey, Herbie, I was just looking on TV, and it's apparently Illini night over at White Sox tonight?
Yes.
Weren't we there on Illini Day?
We weren't. I just got that hat, though.
What? I don't understand.
I don't know if they're just...
They were giving those hats out, I thought.
No, not that day. Maybe that was like overflow. But yeah, today is the official Illini Day.
Oh, okay. All right. I was going, that's weird.
We got special treatment from Alyssa.
We did. She was awesome. Did you hear what she, did you see on Instagram what she said? So Alyssa is one of the people that you see in the ballpark at White Sox. She's great. And she has the microphone, like she does the giveaways and stuff like that. She became a certified trainer, and one of her first clients was talking about how much he hated the White Sox. She was like, so yeah, maybe my stopwatch didn't start on time while you're doing those burpees. I like it. Someone texted in the show, and you can text the show, 670-11 is the way you do it, and ask me my thoughts about Ant-Man. Now, the reason they asked me my thoughts is, if you're new to the show, I'm a bit of a comic book geek. I love comic books. I love comic book movies. I talk to comic book authors. One of my interviews on the House of L podcast is with Kyle Higgins, who's a local guy who's made it big in DC and in Marvel. I have some strong feelings about the Ant-Man sequel. And I'm going to try not to take up a lot of your time, because I know that you come here for the sports, and I got some sports stuff that I want to discuss. But I have some really strong feelings on this. I am not here, in light of the events of the Infinity War, I am not here for the play-play anymore. Sorry. I think Paul Rudd is great. If you haven't heard Paul Rudd on the WTF podcast with Marc Maron, I highly recommend it. It's great. I like Evangeline Lilly. I like Michael Douglas. I even like the concept of this movie. Until some stuff gets resolved, and those of you who have seen Infinity War know what I'm talking about, I'm not here for the play-play. Like, I don't have 2 hours to ha-ha at Paul Rudd and Michael Pena, considering what they put me through in Infinity War. And I get it. If I go see Ant-Man 2, I'll get a glimpse on what's coming next. Nah, man. No. I ain't got time for this. I was sitting in the theater for 5 minutes at the end of Infinity War, and I'm someone who read Infinity Gauntlet. Okay? There were people in there that didn't know what was coming, and then when it happened, they were like, wait, what? So, Marvel, forgive me, but I am not here for your ha-ha happy time movie with Paul Rudd telling me jokes. You have forfeited that. You have now walked into a place where ain't nobody got time for that. I don't have time for your cuddly superhero movie. So stuff happened, man.
I just told Adam I'm out. I mean, I've only seen like Black Panther and this one,
Infinity War.
And I was like, I'm not watching anymore.
He's not nearly as invested as me and you are, Lawrence.
Well, wait. What's your reasoning behind? Are you just done, or was that? Did you get emotional watching Infinity War?
Yeah, I got pissed.
Now imagine if you'd have been watching these movies for the last decade and had the build up to that.
Right. And then, here's Ant-Man. Let's joke around with Ant-Man.
I think they're trying to give you a bit of relief, but no. You're right. Like, I'm not here for it anymore.
I'm not here for the play-play.
I was shaking at the end of Infinity War, and I knew what happened in Infinity Gauntlet, and I was like, but I don't think they'll do it. I don't think so.
It was a weird thing to, like, I had to walk my wife through it because she's a fan, but she's not like I am, and she's like, is the movie over?
That's it.
I was like, oh, yeah, the movie's over. And she's like, wait, so what just happened? And I'm explaining it to her, and I'm explaining the extra scene and stuff. So I'm trying to explain the Captain Marvel stuff to her, which I think she'll be down. Like, that's like, don't come back to me until you got the Captain Marvel movie done. Like, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear none of it. I'm not in the mood. I'm not in the mood. And again, I love Paul Rudd. I think that he's great. I think the Ant-Man thing is fun and funny, but
save it for after Avengers 4.
Yeah.
That would have been better time. They should have put Captain Marvel this summer and then moved Avengers 4 up a little bit. That would have been my move.
I'm just saying, you went to a real dark place. And I'm not ready for Sesame Street now. Like, I'm not paying you for Sesame Street after you took me to the darkest place that a superhero movie can go. It would be like, if, and you know, DC is behind the times, but I remember like when I read Death of Superman, like when I read that as a kid, like it messed with me. Like Superman's dead. Like for real? Even the cover art with his cape like tattered and blowing in the wind. It would be like after they did the movie, the Dawn of Justice movie, it would be like, you know what we should do next? A Plastic Man movie.
Go with some obscure character and make people laugh.
Yeah, let's go do that. We'll do the Elastoman movie right now. And ha ha ha. Let's laugh at Ralph Dibny. Let's do that.
Well, they did go with Suicide Squad. That was right after Dawn of Justice.
But Suicide Squad was dark.
That's
it had
true.
Funny moments, but it was dark. I'm just saying that I'm not in the place. And I'll probably watch it when it makes its way to cable or something. But you're not getting my money on this one. And you're not getting my money because you know what you did. And until that's resolved, until it's resolved or retconned, you can keep it. You can keep your Ant-Man movie.
It's too soon.
Exactly.
It's just too soon.
It's way too soon for us to be chuckling about
this. It was barely 2 months ago.
I still
think about it almost every day.
I still laugh, though, because it was funny to me. Like, my viewing experience was hysterical because I was there in a theater sitting next to a couple where the woman had clearly been dragged along and had no interest in the movie. So the stuff happens. And the guy is sitting there like broken. And he's waiting for the final scene to give him some sort of resolution. And she's like, nope. We have to go now. We're leaving. And he's like, no. There's a scene. And she's like, how do you know there's a scene? He's like, I watch these movies all the time. There's an extra scene. And so the whole time the credits are rolling, she's yelling at him to get up out of the chair. He's like, no. We need to stay. We need to stay. 847 text says, I think they wanted to go a little Deadpool on Ant-Man. I watched Deadpool. And you know why I watch Deadpool? Because Deadpool will go through the fourth wall with me. But even he didn't go far enough. Yes, there was the throwaway line about how, obviously, with Josh Brolin playing Thanos and playing Cable, that he looked like Thanos. That was funny. There's all sorts of stuff. 262 Sexer says, the post-credit scene in Ant-Man gets you back to that dark place, though. See, that's my point. I'm not spending the $12 for the final scene in Ant-Man.
You'll be able to find that scene somewhere online.
Maybe.
In the next year.
Maybe. And I know that they're important, and I try to explain that stuff, but I appreciate you allowing me to vent. I needed to vent on that, and I have now vented on that. But it's just like even the marketing of the movie has made me angry. It's made me absolutely furious. It's like, yeah, check out Paul Rudd. He's little and then he's big. Ah, it's hilarious. He's using a real flatbed truck like a scooter. And I'm like, no. I got problems in Wakanda. All right, I'll just leave it there because I know there are still people who haven't seen Infinity War. But you know what you did, Marvel. Hi, Pat. You're on the score.
Hello, Lawrence. I understand. I was in that same dark place at the end of Infinity War. I did take my kids to see Ant-Man and the Wasp, and I will tell you, I enjoyed it. It was good, and it ties in. And I think what we see happening between Ant-Man and the Wasp, because this, where was Ant-Man during Infinity War? Here's where he was. Where was Where's Captain Marvel coming into play? That's the next one. There's three timelines that are tying together. We have the Infinity War timeline, we have the Ant-Man Wasp piece tying in, and then Captain Marvel will be the next piece, and it'll all tie into to Avengers 4. So I understand you may watch it on DVD, on TV when it comes out or on cable or whatever, but you do need to see it because it's going to tie into the next one.
All right. I appreciate the advice. Someone said I got to hit up a matinee. Pay that $5 instead of paying the $12. It's a good point. I'm a big proponent of sneaking in snacks, too. Does that make me a bad guy? Am I stealing from the theater when I do that?
Hell no. Those snacks are so overpriced.
They cost a lot.
I used to work in a movie theater, and they told us to upsell. It was my very first job. They told us specifically to upsell because that's how they make their money. They make their money all on concessions. They get no money from the box office.
Oh, okay.
So all their concessions is... That's how theaters make money. That's why it's so expensive, but I want no part of it, even having been part of it.
I go to the, y'all not, we family, right? As Bernie Mac would say, we family, right? Y'all not gonna tell anybody, right? So I go to the Icon Theater quite a bit over on Roosevelt Road. And the beautiful thing about the Icon Theater is that it's like right next door to a Target. So usually what I do is I go to Target and you can get like a box of M&Ms for $1. And I can get like a little bag of pretzels for $1. And someone just said I'm allowed to bring candy in. I don't think that's true. Is that true? You worked at the movie theater.
Not when I was there. Hell no. No, no, no. They didn't let you do that. Because again, that's how they make their money.
Right.
So that's why they don't want you bringing stuff in. They don't want any outside food or drink.
That's what I thought the deal was. So I'd be sneaking stuff in there like James Bond.
Unless it's changed. I mean, it's been 10 years since I worked there. So, I mean, it could have changed, but when I was there, it was, oh, absolutely not.
Think about it. I go to the Target next to the Icon on Roosevelt. I get a box of M&Ms or a box of Duds, or why not both? Get the box of Duds, a box of M&Ms, and some pretzels. I've spent $3. Three. And I can go and enjoy my movie. Y'all be sneaking stuff in? This dude say he's sneaking White Castles. Man, how you going to... Seriously?
They can smell that.
All right, okay. We need to take a break. But since we've stumbled upon this, let's have some fun. What do you sneak into the movie theater? 312-644-6767. Or you can text us at 670-11. And if you have thoughts on the Ant-Man Marvel thing, I will allow for that too. By the way, I just saw Matt Spiegel is in the building. He's going to join me at 8 o'clock. We'll talk baseball then with him. My name is Lawrence Holmes. You're listening to The Score. So here's what I'm finding out, looking at the text messages and on my screen. We're all a bunch of thieves. I was talking about the movies, how I don't want to see Ant-Man because I'm just not in a mental place to see Ant-Man after what happened in Infinity War. And I was talking about how I sneak stuff into the theater. You know, I get a box of M&Ms and maybe some pretzels or something, and I do that. Now, looking at all the stuff that you guys sneak in, I don't feel half as bad as I felt a little while ago. Now, I didn't feel that bad. Here's some of the things that I have my kids sneak in: Sour Patches, Now Laters, and try to find a store with some loose Capri Suns. I'm guessing you're doing that for the kids, so to me, that's okay. 847 Texas says, potbelly sandwiches. How you going to sneak a potbelly sandwich?
What are you putting that in?
I don't know.
If you put it in like your girlfriend's purse, that's going to be one hell of a purse.
It's a stinky purse. Because
I've done that before, like put stuff in a girl's purse.
Food?
They got more room. Like not like
oh, like the
food.
Bags.
Yeah,
like,
the bag.
Yeah.
Yeah, like stuff like that, like bigger items that we're trying to sneak in. Put it in a purse because they got more room to work with than my jeans, but a full sandwich, I've never even thought of doing.
The dude that says that he sneaks White Castles into the theater, that is next. Like, it's a closed room. Like, we all know what that smells like. How do you get away with that? How do the people there not go, sir, is that a sack of Sliders?
I'm tricking off on him if he ain't sharing.
If he not sharing, if he don't break you off at least one.
Yes.
Be like, security!
Like, you can smell the White Castle. It's right there. It's somewhere in that vicinity. Take it from somebody. Look at it. Smell his breath.
Oh, my God. 773 Texas says, I was at Ford City Theater, and this lady had a box of Church's chicken. 3 minutes later, I heard the distinct sound of a can of pop. And you know it was like Wildwood pop, too, right? It was, you know, from straight from the, oh, my God, that a box of Church's chicken. How do you get that in? This is so great. Oh, 630 Texas says, as a youngin', we snuck everything from candy to McDonald's to hard liquor. That is a recurring theme on the text line. Some dude, here it is right here. Lawrence, my boys and I went to see the movie Old School at the Marcus Theater on Lincoln Highway in the Heights. We brought in a case of bottles.
That's impressive.
Really is.
I'll admit to sneaking in booze a few times, but I've never been that bold. Like, you're going to hear that pop.
630 Texas says, Lawrence, two Chipotle burrito bowls. Put it in the bottom of my wife's diaper bag. The kid checking ticks and bags during Infinity War wanted no part of that. Okay, that's a heady play. Like, something in the diaper bag smells, but you're not reaching into the diaper bag. Get it? 773 Texas says cargo pants. It's the way you got to go to the movie. When I was little, the 815 texter says, they would sneak me into the drive-in by having me duck down behind the driver's seat. That's a whole person that you're sneaking into the movie. Julia is out in South Elgin. Hey, Julia, you're on the Score.
Hi there.
So what are you sneaking into movies, Julia?
So my husband hates it because I have brought in beer, but like you said, it's too loud. It cracks. People hear it. So wine with a twist-off cap is an easy go-to. And with a big bag and a blanket on top, they never check.
Okay, so that's the move. I got to get White Panther to bring one of her big bags and put a blanket over it. They definitely won't search her. Rockford and Mark. Hey, Mark, you're on the Score.
Hey, Lawrence, loves the show.
Thank you.
So, yeah, you know, obviously the reoccurring theme is alcohol. So, yeah, definitely that's really why I go to the movies only in the winter, because you got to have, you know, bigger layers and whatnot. So the way to go is hoodie. You got to have a hoodie, and you got to tie it around your waist like it's 1996.
So I have to look like a country club dude?
Dude, for like 5 minutes.
Okay, that's fair. That's totally fair. I will say, the 2 weeks ago, remember, it was like super hot outside when I went to go see Incredibles 2. And to get my, I had on a pair of shorts, so I had to go the hoodie route. But I felt stupid because it was like 100 degrees outside. But the movie theater is always cold. There's your built-in. Have to have, because it's cold in the theater. 708 texter following up on something another texter said. I managed at Ford City. Church's chicken was a common occurrence. Oh, man. All right, a couple more of these. Lawrence, me and a buddy took a fifth of Jim Beam into the Navy Pier IMAX to see Dark Knight Matinee so we could pregame before the Super Bowl party. It was great. 630 Texas says, vodka in a water bottle. That is a man with a problem. You have to be strategic about sneaking crap in. The guy holding the tickets holds nothing else. Everybody else goes in on the guy holding the tickets. Don't check anybody else. Okay. No, I don't believe Dan in Bourbonnais. I don't believe you, Dan. What did you sneak into the theater?
Chicken nuggets with sweet and sour sauce from McDonald's. Back when they were doing the 50-pack,
no!
You throw those in, and I'm telling you, the best thing in the world.
No, you got a 50-pack into the movie theater?
Yeah.
Did
it
you?
Was like literally the best thing. It's amazing.
Did you share?
I mean, I gave out a few, but for the most part, you know, it's an experience.
We're all a bunch of thieves. My goodness. This segment being brought to you by Lakeside Bank. For the second year in a row, top-rated bank in Chicago is Lakeside Bank. S&P Global Intel says Lakeside is number one again among all 2017 banks between $1 and $10 billion in assets. Join Lakeside Bank. It's about time. And Northwestern football, Coach Fitz and the Music City Bowl champs host Michigan, Nebraska, Wisconsin, Notre Dame, and more this fall at Ryan Field. Season and single game tickets are on sale now at NUSports.com. I got a treat for you coming up. He's in a control room right now. Matt Spiegel is going to join me in studio. We're going to talk baseball, right? That's what we're going to do? We're going to do baseball? Nothing else? Nothing else? Okay. This is probably fair. It's probably the right thing to do. It's to only do that. Just baseball. Maybe some LeBron. I've got some LeBron. Well, maybe we'll just keep it with that. Maybe we don't drift into anything else. Spiegel joins me next here on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.